it out now. No doubt, yo.
Tuesday morning, December 30th, 2025. It is the Beating the Book podcast, live from the SiriusXM studios at the Wynn Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, week 18, Megapod, live on Twitter. Let me just go ahead and retweet that when we get a chance. We have a champion. We have a Megapod champion that has been crowned, at least by his Megapod rules. We have crowned a champion. We will get into that momentarily. He is the man this year. He certainly crushed me because I have tailed off with a Drake May jersey on from his mom's cork attic in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Ladies and gentlemen, Drake, Todd Wishnev May. What up, Toddy?
Folks, I just would like to warn you, you're going to hear a lot of obfuscation today. That's the word of the day. Obfuscation. People not being able to stoically handle their defeats. Now, we feel for these people due to the fact they have terrible head cold, and that's not good. And I don't feel I wasn't talking about you necessarily. I don't feel like kicking a dead horse when he's down. However, obfuscation, you will hear why it's not a championship and blah, blah, blah. Like the NFC South will not crown a division winner this year, and neither will the Megapod because of all kinds of obfuscation. Folks, you're smarter than that. And I expect you to do your research. Thank you.
That was like an opening argument from the defense. Not from his mom's cork attic, but other staple of this show. At not the Will Hill. Todd is at T. Wishnev, still doing big college basketball things. At not the Will Hill. Will Hill, the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast. William or Wilson, how you doing, man?
Gilly, week 18. I feel like I haven't said it much this year, but and I get made fun of for saying it in past years all the time. It does fly by. Hard to believe it's week 18, but should be a fun playoff looking at this bracket and potential bracket.
Should be. Absolutely. And we'll go through all the playoff possibilities as well. We have on the show today, for the second year in a row, week 18. Before I say his name, we go to Megapod historian Tim Lawson, who celebrated the 15 years of the Megapod, 15 years of this podcast, by giving the history of every guest's history on this show. And here's his for our guest today. He says, you cannot talk about the history of the Beating the Book NFL Megapod without mentioning Ace, a.k.a. Vegas Runner. Ace co-hosted the show from 2012 to 2018, it has appeared in every season since 2020 when he made a week 3 guest appearance. The only year he was absent from the Megapod in any contributor role was 2019. In total, Ace co-hosted 142 episodes, and this marks his 6th appearance as a guest. Wow, Ace, 142 plus 6 as a guest. Tracking down his full Megapod record would take more than a week of work, as he's been part of nearly 185 hours of NFL Megapod content. It goes on. Beyond best bets, handicapping, and, quote, loving everything on the board, unquote, his famous line, Ace is perhaps best known for his antics and advice on the annual Vegas lifestyle shows. His highlights there include guidance on maximizing value at adult clubs and negotiating with the lady of the night. As Ace would say, you gotta know what the goal is going in, unquote. Which brings us to a question from the Megapod historian. What are Ace's answer to the classic lifestyle questions? Favorite sportsbook, favorite steak dinner, favorite strip club? In 2011, the first year of the Megapod, his answers were the M, Del Frisco's, and Spearmint Rhino. Ladies and gentlemen, Johnny, Ace, Vegas Runner, what's happening, Ace? How you doing, man?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I used to pride myself, I still do, on perfect attendance. That was the key. I never missed a show. It didn't matter. Sick. Flying to see my mom in Greece, a wedding, it didn't matter. I always made sure I had Wi-Fi and was logged in for that show. So thank you for having me on. And I love seeing it still running and crushing. So yeah, I can't believe it was been that long, 15 years. Wow.
Dude,
it goes so fast.
Always appreciate it. You and Marco were the co-hosts of the show, Marco and Angela, for so many years. Ace is at Wager Talk. He does stuff for UFC. By the way, what about an answer to that question? Are you still in the strip club game? Do you know anything about strip clubs today?
No. I'll keep it real. It ain't my thing. I don't go out much, Gil. Yeah. I don't even love Vegas anymore, to be honest with you. I love the city. I love the opportunities it's given me. And, you know, there's so much to do here, but I don't take advantage of the city anymore. Like my quality of life, I think, would be better elsewhere. It's just because of the work I do with the UFC that I've stayed, or I would have actually been out of Vegas by now. Cause I had my fun. You got to remember, I came here 25, single, had a really good time for a nice decade. But now I don't really take advantage of the city. So yeah, I haven't really hit the strip clubs of late.
Bro, I think the other way to look at that is we got old, right?
We evolved. Look at it as evolving, as evolved.
Yeah, okay, I prefer that word.
Well, there's plenty of old guys at the strip club.
Just not us.
Yeah.
All right, Todd, have your moment. What are the records?
Well, folks, as I said, we might hear some obfuscation today, but a champion has been crowned. We are clinched already going into week 18. Yes, last year I needed week 18 W's to get the W. Not this year. I just finished these people off early. And Gilly helped us with his 1-2 LA Chargers, Niners, and Panthers to move to 22-29 on the season. And that, folks, will not get it done.
No.
He's also 5-12 on the teasers after making a bit of a comeback. He's slid a bit on the teasers. Now, Will Hill, we'll look at him for just a minute. He hit a massive 2-1 this past week. Willie, fantastic job with Kansas City and the Browns and losing the Jaguars. He moves to 16-33-2. And your guest chair, which did have the best record of the year, unfortunately, they are not qualified because they are not in the division. But the guest chair goes 3-0. Ben Wilson with a fantastic job, not just in calling arena football and women's badminton, but also giving us a 3-0 to move the guest chair to 29-20-2. Not too shabby. And a 10-7 with the teasers.
What was my teaser and did I win, Ted? I don't think you said. Did I win my teaser last week?
You won your teaser and you moved to 8-9 on teasers. At one point, you were leading the teaser game. And then your champion in the clubhouse, third out of 4 years. Now you're going to hear some nonsense about a guy dying on Monday Night Football, DeMar Hamlin and Gus Vashalom. Oh, my God. It's not fair. I didn't get a chance. Look over here. Look over there. That's what you're going to hear. But the truth be the truth. Winning percentage is what the Megapod is judged on. And three out of the last four, your champion with the Drake May jersey. Thank you to our listener who gave me the Drake May jersey to stick it to a guy who loves Jaden Daniels, but 25-23-3 coming in at just a svelte 302 pounds. Your champion, Toddy Wishnev, once again. He also wins his teaser to go to 8-9. Champion, 3 out of 4 years. Thank you for watching the Megapod and allowing me to
now.
Right.
For
celebrate good time. Come on.
It's already been annoying. Let's not make it worse. All right. Here's the deal. So Todd won 1 year with an asterisk because, again, I had a bet in the DeMar Hamlin game or a pick in the DeMar Hamlin game. So he ends up winning, quote unquote, by a half a game because I didn't have the opportunity to have a game.
All
so
he could have done was tied anyways. There's and it's about percentages.
That's an asterisk. According to you, it's about percentages. And then this year, and I'll just ask it, I'm not going to obfuscate. I'm just going to ask you, do you feel like you should win a championship over a guest chair where Ben Wilson just went 3-0, Rufus Peabody just went 3-0, Kelly Bidlin went 3-0. It was just an amazing year for the guest chair who really crushed you. But you're saying you're fine with a guest chair not getting a championship.
You cannot give a championship 1/18th to 18 different people. There are teams that are in the division and there are teams that are not in the division. In the NFC South, we don't wake up one day and go, the Baltimore Ravens have won the NFC South. No, they're not in that division, unfortunately.
Such a great comparison. Such an accurate comparison. I can't even think of
both of two guys on here. Anyway, one too much.
Two championships of your three that have massive asterisks. You are Roger Maris of this podcast. As long as we're aware of that.
Folks, please realize that Gilly has tremendous judgment and he's a great guy to be honest and make good arguments. However, today he is falling off and please don't judge him. He's sick. Look, the man's sick.
I am sick. I am sick. All right. Congratulations to you, Todd. Whether it's a championship or not, you beat me. That's for sure. And that's all that really I care about. By the way,
what are you talking about? I squeaked by Willie, barely.
Fuck off. fuck all the way off.
Listen, I'll say this again about Will. Will's really good better. I don't know. This pre-flop NFL stuff will get you when you have a small sample size. It really will. So
he's just as likely to go 33-16 next year. So who knows?
Forgive the kid. Dumbo of the week. Dumbo of the week. By the way, I should let Ace decide who wins the championship. You are the guest chair.
Look,
Ace, what would be your vote? I'm curious. Look,
Ace is a great guy. His opinion is moot. Go ahead, Ace.
Well, I believe I'm, and just keeping it real, if I'm no bias at all, obviously, I think if you're asking the guests to follow the script exactly like you're following it, then their record has to count. Or what's the point of even having the guests on and having them come in with their best bets? Then it doesn't matter how we do.
That's exactly right.
I understand Todd's argument of which guest takes it, the guy that went 3-0 or the guy that went 0-3, or how do you split it up to the guys that went 3-0? That's the difficulty. But it doesn't have to be a one person award. It could go as
if you look at the Megafund bylaws, Ace,
and then the challenge is to beat the guests also.
Yeah, that you're
bringing in. You're bringing in talent. You're bringing in elite guys that should win.
Thank
so,
you.
Ace. You're not bringing in guys that are just throwing out, you know, a pick. You're bringing in people that are coming to try to go 3-0. And that's why I think it should matter.
Call it a division championship.
That's a pretty compelling case by Ace, I have to say. Ace,
even if I give it to you, for the overall conference championship, you may be correct. I'm just looking at divisional championships right now.
Yeah, no, dude, you're representing the NFC for sure. Right. You're definitely representing the NFC. There's no doubt there. Yeah, yeah, you're representing the NFC. And I think you, Todd, should then have to face the guests.
18-person panel.
You
can't do bylaws either with Ace, because Ace was basically John Hancock on the Declaration of Independence.
Yes.
You can't sit back there. All right. Anyway, Dumbo of the week.
Bottom line is I've beaten you two clowns 3 out of the last 4 years. That's all I care about. You can call me any kind of champion you want. That's all.
Thank you. Asterisks or not. Yeah. Yes. Barry Bonds still hit home runs.
That's right.
Thank you. Still went off.
Can't take it away from him.
I agree. Okay. Dumbo of the week. In terms of coaches, I only have two. The candidates are, last night, did you see this Sean McVay thing at the end of the first half? Where I think Buck and Aikman didn't give him enough shit for this, where he had all three timeouts. They were down 21-0, and then they just kind of lollygagged downfield. Do you see that? That's a little
worried. That was bad.
Yeah, moving into the playoffs. And then there was another one. I don't know how much this one, but the Colts were down 3 to the Jaguars, and it was like 4th-and-11 at the 49, but with like 5 minutes left. Let me get the exact thing. It was... that's not the game. Oh, here it is. Yes, it is. From the Indianapolis 48. Oh, yeah. 4th-and... What is it here? With 5 minutes left. Yeah, 3:11 left. 4th-and-11 at their own 49. They have all their timeouts. They decide to go for it. Rivers incomplete, intended for Pierce. Not a good pass. I don't know. Kind of. I didn't think they should go for it. 4th-and-11. I thought they should punt, but maybe I'm wrong about that. Anyway, I don't know anything worse coach-wise besides Sean McVay yesterday. Anybody have anything else?
I would like to throw a question to you guys. Did you guys see the play where Fannin caught the touchdown against the Steelers, where they kind of, Shador Sanders kind of threw a dead quail pass out to the right-hand side, and the Steeler defensive back, if you watch it in slow motion, looks directly at the ball and then somehow decides not to try to knock it down, just tries to get out of Fannin's way, maybe so as not to get a PI or something, and he gets the touchdown. Now, there's also tons of clips all over the place with Rodgers making terrible decisions on fourth down where they break down the play calls and everything. Now, look, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I think that doesn't mean all conspiracies are false. There are probably some that are true. if there is fixing an NFL, I believe it starts with the refs and it's for TV, not for gambling. I think they just want those televisions on as much as they can so they can sell the next contract for billions and billions of dollars. I don't think it has anything to do with your bet or anything like that. However, that was some unusual shit. Did you, okay. I mean, that
can
guy.
Can I add on to that, Todd? Can I spin it a different way? Can I say the same thing in a different way? Did you feel like it felt like the Steelers were more concerned with assuaging, I'll use that word, Aaron Rodgers' ego so as not to allow Myles Garrett to break the record on his fragile, arrogant ego than they were to win a football game?
Very interesting.
That's how it felt to me.
But so you don't think
why would that be a Rodgers thing though? Like why would Rodgers take that as I mean he didn't get the sacks. I mean it would only be one of the sacks against him. Was that really a Rodgers thing? I do agree with the point that they seemed preoccupied and some of the Browns players even said they seemed preoccupied not with winning the game but making sure Garrett didn't get it. But
yes.
I don't know, is that you think that's a Rodgers thing?
I mean or if it's not Rodgers vocally, it's this need for them to constantly fondle you know, to caress the guy and to just be like, OK, we got to protect him at all costs. Like, I agree with Todd's premise, which is it was just awfully strange. The whole thing, the play calling, everything about it was strange.
But also, what did you think about that particular play? Gilly, what did you think about that particular play where the D-back goes? Yeah.
It's like he got I thought the same thing you did. It was weird because it was like he spun around and looked elsewhere, you know. And Fannin could make a play on it. It was very strange. It was like some stuff that happened in sixth grade where you're like, somebody's guarding you downfield and they just like you happen to have the unathletic kid on you and they're like, hey, and you catch it. That was weird. I agree. But what I would go more with the game plan.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, the game plan, I can take that. I'm just saying, what do you guys think, Ace and Will, about that play?
Personally, I try not to like put too much thought into things like that. I just maybe people I hang around with aren't the brightest. I just see people do stupid shit all the time. Like I expect people to disappoint me and do dumb stuff. So I don't get surprised when people do stupid things. I get surprised when they don't. Like to be honest with you,
that's
like when I
really
don't get disappointed
point.
When someone doesn't do something foolish, that's when I'm mostly shocked and surprised. When they go out there and do the expected, which is mess up and screw up, it's like just another day in the NFL. So it's expected, or else we wouldn't have anything else to talk about. And we always have something to talk about because someone's always doing something stupid. That's just the truth. That's how I break it down. I don't think it's I always credit more towards incompetence than conspiracy when it comes to things like that. I just credit human beings with being really fallible, and we just always are going to more find a way to screw things up and make mistakes. And I think when with that, there's like just such a big camera on you that it's just magnified to such a degree. But again, I try to bring it back to like the simplest level of it's just a human being making mistakes, and we do it all day, every day. We all do. I try not to think deeper than that. I don't know. I'm just simple.
That's actually a really good point. Also, I would say that's a very good point.
I would say that with all the games, I got the YouTube, the multi-box with the four games at once. I mean, I watched it. I had the Browns. I was following that game. I have to go back and rewatch. Sometimes, I don't know if you guys feel the same way, your attention can get divided where you're watching a lot of games, but you're not really focusing on one. When it's a primetime game, you're locked in and, you know, coaching mistakes, announcer things, we're all kind of observing the same thing. But when you got four at once and maybe the sound isn't on, you got your eyes on everything, but you're not necessarily locked in.
Listen.
It's just real quickly, I've lost, Gil, you've done this as long as I have, betting and all that, but we all have. I've won and lost the game every possible way. And I've had a fumble that fell, that happened to me, and a backdoored a touchdown that landed right within a point of the spread, and it mattered. But then I had it happen to me that landed within 60 points of the spread where it didn't matter. Meaning, the same situation, but in one particular instance, because it was near the point spread, conspiracy, the other game because the same situation, but it didn't factor into the point spread. There is no conspiracy. So it's like kind of what I mean is like when you bet as long as we all have, we've won, we've lost every possible way. You've seen every bad call you can possibly see. So it's just not really shocking to see a coach make bad play calls, ref blow a call, like those kind of things.
Ace,
I just,
what about when a guy runs 70
years, I just get used to it.
Ace, what about a guy who runs 77 yards for a touchdown and decides on the last half yard maybe to drop the ball? And then when a guy throws an interception and the guy falls down and then fumbles the ball into the end zone and allows the other team to get another touchdown and then runs the ball directly into the line. Have you lost that way as well?
Probably not. Probably not. I'd have to go. There's always a new bad beat. That's the beauty of gambling. There's always a new bad beat.
Ace, when a guy loses to the guest chair, finishes second place to a guest chair, you get to make all kinds of conspiracy arguments. That's the Megapod bylaws.
Well said.
Listen, I wasn't saying it was a conspiracy. I was just throwing it out there. I don't believe there's conspiracies for gambling. I believe the conspiracies are to keep the televisions on if there is one.
By the way, I think we thought we saw Scotty Scheffler just walk by here at the Whip.
Huh? Yeah,
maybe call him in and do part of the show. Todd, any in-game before we move on to the bets?
Yeah, real quick one. Me and Willie on Sunday Night Football, I think it was. Sunday Night Football. Both were looking at third quarter tie. Willie has been an outstanding, amazing third quarter tie better this year. And as bad as his Megapod record, that's how amazing his third quarter tie record. So we have to give him his props for that. He's been outstanding. I said to him, hey, what about third quarter tie in this Bears Niners game where it doesn't seem like anyone can stop each other? We're both thinking, okay, each team gets a touchdown, and then on the third drive, there's not enough time to get another touchdown. It could easily be 7-7. And then I see Caesars has +450, which you usually don't see that juicy. Yeah. Usually, Willie, the prices are somewhere 300, 350, 340, 320, yeah. Somewhere in that range. I see Caesars has +450, and I say, oh my God, I got to do it. So I made it a little bit bigger bet than I usually would on those third quarter ties. And then, I bitched out a little bit on the end with a little hedge, but I still ended up winning a real nice one on that. The point being is, if no one's stopping no one, which is exactly what was happening in the Bears-Niners game, it has to be less than +450. What do you need to win a 450? It's, you got to win it, 20% of the time to make it worthwhile. There was a huge chance that we were going to get two touchdowns in those first two drives. So that was a real nice one. The other one I just wanted to mention is the Cardinals, again, with a fourth quarter winner. If you catch these early and you realize in the second quarter, this is going to be a blowout. In the fourth quarter, the Cardinals or whoever it might be is going to get some backdoor action. You can win with those +1.5s because you want the 1.5 because if each team gets a touchdown and your idiot coach decides to go for two, as Ace has told us, idiots do idiot things all the time. If it's 7-6 final in the fourth quarter, which happens all the time, you want that +1.5. If you can get that +1.5 fourth quarter, late second quarter, there are books that are offering fourth quarter, late second quarter. And if you can realize who's going to be moving the ball late because they're getting blown out, it was a great bet all season. The Cardinals did it again.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
All right, let's do it. Let's get to the best bets. Does anybody have? So here's how it goes this weekend. We have two Saturday games, both with consequences. We got the Bucks and the Seahawks. Excuse me, the Bucks and the Panthers. That is for the NFC South crown. It was a winner take all. If the Panthers win it, they are the NFC South champs. But now, if the Buccaneers win, based on last night's result with the Falcons beating the Rams, the Buccaneers will not have clinched the NFC South until they see the result of the Falcons-Saints game the next day. If the Falcons win along with the Bucks win, then it's a three-way tie and the Panthers still win. the NFC South crown, because all three teams will be 8-9, and the Panthers will win the tiebreaker based on the record between those three teams. You remember they swept the Falcons, including a bizarro 30-0 win earlier in the season. The Buccaneers can only win the NFC South now with a win and a Falcons loss on Sunday. So there's that game. And then there's, pardon me, by the way, my nose is a faucet. Then there's the Niners and the Seahawks, which is the battle for the NFC West title and, more importantly, the number one seed in the NFC on Saturday night. That game should really be the last one of the weekend. Instead, it's on Saturday night. And it has the added little quirk of, if the Niners win, not only do they win the NFC East, excuse me, the NFC West and get the number one seed, but they also will lock the Rams into the sixth seed. Seattle will fall to a 5 seed. The Rams will be locked into a 6 seed. And the Rams, therefore, will have nothing to play for against the Falcons, excuse me, against the Cardinals on Sunday. So there's all kinds of little things like this you have to be aware of.
So Seattle's in a great spot if, by what you're saying, is because either they can get the number one, or they fall to the coveted number 5, because the number 5 gets to play the jerk-offs from the NFC South. So Seattle is in a great position either way.
And think how much, that's a great point, and think how much it means to San Francisco as well, because San Francisco will then, in knocking the Rams down to 6, we do reseed in the NFL playoffs, but in knocking the Rams down to 6, if they are able to beat the Seahawks on Saturday, the Niners will have the potential of holding off any matchup against the Rams until the championship game, potentially, but it will knock them out of the immediate bracket, right, if things break their way. And then they have the chance of getting Fred Warner back for that conference championship game as well. So, I mean, just massive implications for all this stuff. Does anybody have a best bet from either of those two games on Saturday?
I do.
Ace, why don't you go first?
Ace,
yes,
what's
sir.
Yours?
I like both games. I really do. This is a good board this week for the games that matter. I really like it. But I'll go with the stronger of the two, and that's Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay should be a much bigger favorite, definitely through that key number of 3. There's just a lot of recency bias on this number with Carolina. Just on paper, they're the better team. Power rating-wise, without a doubt. Offensively, they're the more efficient team. Only 3 teams worse than Carolina offensively, only 2 worse defensively than Carolina. Granted, they had the 10th toughest strength of schedule, but Tampa Bay had the 12th toughest strength of schedule. And statistically, they're top 20 team offensively, top 15 team defensively when you're looking at efficiency. So on paper, we're looking at the better team, Tampa Bay. Couple that with home field advantage, at least 2 points there on the Tampa side, they should be above that 3 points. And here you're looking at 2.5 juiced. Why? Because Tampa comes in having lost, 4 or 5 games in a row, and they were favored in every single one of those games. That's worrisome. But look a little closer, and you're going to see all 4 of those losses came by 1 score. A lot of randomness to those results. They lost by 3 to Miami last week. They lost by 3 to Carolina. They lost by 1 to Atlanta, and they lost by 4 to New Orleans. All those games could have went the other way. If they just went 2-2 in those games, they'd be a 3.5, 4-point favorite in this game. If they would have won all those games, they'd be closer to a touchdown favorite in this game, or it probably wouldn't even matter because they would have won the division already. But what I'm getting at is you're looking at a huge discount just because Carolina comes in having played better of late, where they're sitting at 2-2 compared to 0-4. I think there's nothing more than that. Neither of these quarterbacks are above average in passing success rate, so it's not like Tampa's going up against a stud in that department. I think, you're getting the better team at a discount because they're coming in limping, but I think both teams are coming in limping. These aren't the elite of the NFL, but you give me home field advantage, less than a field goal with the better team on paper, I'm on Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay for Ace.
The other thing is Tampa Bay has not covered in 8 straight football games. And if we know anything about the National Football League, it is very hard to continuously not cover over and over, which just makes it like what you're saying, Ace, they're going to be, lower valued.
Ace, by the way, a Greek_gambler on Twitter for those who are looking for him as well. Todd, you said you had one of these two games as well?
Yeah. I, to me, it's kind of similar to what Ace was just talking about. I'm looking at this 49ers game. I believe the line you have is Seattle minus one. Is that correct?
Seattle minus one. Yes. Minus one and 1.5. I don't know what you're seeing more of.
I see a lot of ones. Pinnacle has
a lot of 1.5s also. DraftKings is 1.5.
Mostly 1.5, I would say.
Yeah, I'd say mostly 1.5. You know,
fine. 1.5. No problem. I've already won the championship. Seattle minus 1.5. I'm going to take here. You know, this is kind of similar to what Ace is talking about. Now, ever since Purdy came back, all we've seen is the Niners, Niners, Niners. They cover every single game. I believe if you count, depending on what you count the final line in the Bears game, they've covered every week for ad infinitum, including this past week. But they're doing it with a tremendous offense. You got to take your hat off to how well they're playing offensively. Absolutely. Their defense stinks, folks. Their defense is atrocious, okay? Now, granted, there might be 8,000 guys out, and that's true. However, sooner or later, I think this, it almost caught up to them the other day in the Bears game, and the Bears could have almost won that game. I think sooner or later, if they come up against a good defensive team, I think we all would agree Seattle is a very good defensive team, definitely in the top, you know, five in the NFL this year. I got to think sooner or later, somebody's going to slow these guys down. And on the other side of the ball, where they're not stopping, it couldn't stop Phillip Rivers, guys. Phillip Rivers with a big fat belly. And that wasn't because he was pregnant. His wife was. Okay. They couldn't stop anything. They didn't stop anything against the Bears. They didn't stop anything in game after game after game. So now you got Seattle, and Seattle's coming in. Definitely people are thinking, Seattle, we're not with Darnold, and people are worried about Darnold. Now they're minus 1.5. I think the world is going to be on the Niners this week, and I think the world loves to get crushed by NFL. So give me Seattle minus 1.5.
I don't know if the world is on the Niners, seeing as the line has gone towards the Seahawks. But
I'm talking about your rank and file guy, not your professionals who might be. I'm not talking about your professionals who might be moving lines in particular ways. I'm talking about when you go to the sports book and you listen to the average doofus who has a 16 parlay with Seattle in it. I mean, with the Niners in it.
Todd is describing, might be describing somebody he knows. Will, did you have any of these two games?
No, I would say the 49ers Seahawk game, and by the way, how remarkable is it? Darnold, for the second year in a row, is in the same position on the road with a chance to win the division, win the one seed, but if he loses, he falls all the way down to the five. It's remarkable. You know, just we were in the same position last year talking about them against the Vikings against Detroit with Darnold against the Lions, and it didn't go well. I don't really trust Darnold, but to me, this is a pretty simple game from a betting perspective. We saw this with Seahawks-Rams. We saw this with Packers-Bears a couple weeks ago on Saturday night. When the line's back and forth between both teams favored by 1.5, depending on where you look, where you shop, when you look, just tease the dog up to 7.5. It should probably be a close game here. It's a very strong teaser. Like, I don't even mind. You know what? One book has Seattle plus 1.5. You tease them up. Another book has San Fran plus 7.5. You tease them up. I think this will be a very close game. I'd be surprised if anyone pulls away.
Yeah, I'll also add the coach of the year thing into this, and I don't want Cleve T.A., our buddy who was on the Megapod earlier this year, is always on the Megapod with us yearly. Go after me because he has these great, you know, award parameters. He's gone back in history and he likes to put out the parameters of you have to have done this or you have to have had a season win total of this before the season started when it comes to coach of the year. And he's what you end up with as your record. So I don't know that Kyle Shanahan fits all of those because the Niners' expectation was high to begin with. But if there was ever a year where those parameters get bucked, maybe it's this one. If they win, if the Niners somehow win that game against Seahawks, get the number one seed, the Niners will have overcome season-ending injuries to Nick Bosa, Fred Warner, 8 games missed by Brock Purdy, oh, by the way, right, where he made Mac Jones look like a viable NFL quarterback in his absence. Ricky Pearsall missed 7 games. George Kittle missed 6 games. We saw Trent Williams miss basically the entire game against the Bears. It doesn't matter. Ayuk never showed up. It doesn't matter. This team is just, for them to get a number one seed if that happens, overcoming all of that, I don't know how he's not the coach of the year. And that's taking nothing away from the other guys. Nothing.
I will add this to it, Gilly. The fact that it's a standalone game and you have the boy, the kind of the last word factor where everyone's watching them and they leave a lasting impression on the voters, where the announcer is going to be talking about Kyle Shanahan and all the things you mentioned for three and a half hours on Saturday night, a game all the voters are going to be watching. I mean, are the voters going to be watching whoever the Patriots are playing on Sunday? The Dolphins, probably not. That's not a standalone game. I think the fact that this is a standalone game in primetime, everyone watching, I think that gives kind of the last word here for Shanahan. I think if they win, he's probably going to get it.
Agreed.
San Francisco has two quarterbacks that are top five in passing success rate. Both Purdy and Mac Jones are in the top five. Purdy number one, Jones number four. That's a real high correlation to winning NFL games.
Yeah.
And you have both of those guys in top five passing success rate.
Ace, do that again.
Happened before.
Do that again with your fingers, Ace, with the balloons. Do that again. See what happens.
Oh yeah, I saw that. That looked beautiful. That celebration. I don't know how that happened.
I don't know how that happened either.
You're so right.
Great point though. That Mac Jones was pretty awesome when he played.
Yeah.
You know. So and those are the numbers to back it up. Will, what's your first pick then?
Wait, before you give Will his first pick, I just would like to throw a little water on the Shanahan parade. Even though I agree with you guys, I think, as Ace has said, people are idiots, voters are idiots, and voters will always make the mistake of thinking of it, how a team was supposed to be. They're not going to go and look into all the very good points you just made. They're just going to be stupid, and they're going to go, oh, yeah, Patriots were supposed to stinkola and they didn't. Yeah. Blah blah blah. We're going to give it to Vrabel. Well,
that's why I prefaced it, Todd, by saying if there was ever a year to buck that kind of thing, right? The expectation based on preseason win total, it would be a guy who does this. My point on that.
I'm just saying I still don't think he's going to get it.
Okay.
What do we have for Broncos Chargers?
Broncos Chargers. Where Philip Rivers, by the way, Justin Herbert is not going to start. It's going to be Trey Lance. I got Broncos minus 12.5.
Yeah.
I'll go Broncos minus 12.5. I remember last year doing the show this time where it was Broncos Chiefs, similar situation. Broncos were playing for a playoff spot. The Chiefs, they were going to the playoffs. It meant nothing. And it was a one way freight train. It was like 38-0 Broncos. I think this will be maybe not 38-0, but I don't like these teams that are going to the playoffs in the role of spoiler. I think the teams can be undervalued sometimes when they're not going to the playoffs and they relish the role of spoiler. But the Chargers, I think, are just trying to get their ducks in a row for the playoffs. Herbert's going to sit out. That means a lot of other guys are going to sit out. I know it's an NFL team. You can't sit everybody. But to me, I just don't think the Chargers get off the bus. I think this means everything for the Broncos to get the one seed. I think this will probably close closer to 14. I think the Broncos absolutely roll in this game. I will lay the 12.5 here with Denver.
All right. I'm going to snake here. I got 1 and 2, and these are very similar picks.
Wait, what's Will's official prick? Broncos minus 12.5?
His official prick.
Yes.
Is Broncos minus 12.5. His official prick, as you said.
All right. I missed.
All right. My two are very similar, and they're more just sort of touchy-feely than they are anything number-space. But Week 18 brings out the squirreliness and the touchy-feely. These are similar. One, I'm going to take the Falcons minus 3 against the Saints. The Falcons, say what we will about Raheem Morris, but they are playing for that guy. And last night against the Rams, that team looked awesome. That, by the way, the fact that the Falcons couldn't figure out a way to win that division this year is just out of control. I think they're a way better football team than the Saints. I think the Tyler Shuck thing has gotten a little out of control from people. I think the Falcons are motivated to finish the season strong. I would say, Will, we texted about this last night. Maybe it's a bit of a damning thing about Michael Penix, too, that they're playing better than Cousins down the stretch. That defense, though, we've said this before this year, the Falcons defense is criminally underrated. The Falcons minus 3. I'm shocked that it's only 3. It was actually 2.5 before yesterday's game. I'm still taking the Falcons minus 3. And then in a game between a team that is headed to the playoffs and one that is not, but is also a 3-point spread, I'm seeing 2.5. You'll tell me what it is. I'll take it either way. The Bears against the Lions. I'm taking the Bears. I feel like the Lions have... I don't know who's going to play for the Lions this week. This is such a disappointing season for them. They were 15-2 last year before Jaden Daniels went in there and put 45 on their face at home in the playoffs last year as the Washington franchise ownership of Detroit continues through the generations. But this is such a disappointing season. Yeah, they had their share of injuries, but Dan Campbell taking over play calling duties from Johnny Morton after the Ben Johnson departure didn't work out. I think they're gonna sit a lot of players, is my guess. And the Bears heading to the playoffs, either as a 2 seed or the 3 seed, they win this game, they're the 2 seed. They lose and Philly wins, they're the 3 seed. I feel like the Bears and Ben Johnson are going to say to themselves, we are not veteran enough to sit week 18. We will certainly try at some point to bring players out, but I think they're going to try for at least a half or 3 quarters of football in this one. I like the Bears -3 against the Lions. So Falcons and Bears for me, just kind of similar handicaps on both, that they're more highly motivated and maybe even in the case of the Bears, more talented than the Lions in the end, which I never thought I would say. So there you go. And by the way, Bears in the playoffs, though, +22 turnover differential this year. And they won six games, down in the final 2 minutes, almost made it 7 against the Niners. That is not sustainable stuff.
Does
for the
this
close
game
season.
Mean anything? What is their over-under next year for wins? I know we kind of talked about that last week. What do you put them at next year for wins? That's going to be a tough one.
Under. Right. I mean, it's got to be all that stuff, though, is not like secret. Right. It's going to be baked in.
Yeah. What do you think the number will be, though? 10.5, something like that. 10.
Let's say 9.5.
9.5. Yeah, you're probably right.
Is this Bears game completely meaningless for the Bears?
What's that? If you're paying attention, if they win, they get the 2 seed. If they lose and the Philly wins, they get the 3 seed.
So you want
a home game against the Packers, which I think they would prefer over a home game against either the Seahawks, or the Rams, or the Niners.
Plus home field in round two, that versus playing in Philly potentially.
Field in round two, exactly.
Yeah. I actually miss, I don't know how you guys feel, I miss all the years of, it was just more symmetrical when there were 16 games and 6 playoff teams. I miss when the 2 seed, that battle for the bye, I think when you see all these meaningless games this week, the 2 seed being devalued, I think is kind of hurt the last week or two, where that used to be its own little carrot, its own little prize. And I think that was something that really hurts the league.
NFL mega owners don't have enough money. So what happened was this was like a welfare thing for them. A lot of them didn't even have enough food. They were on food stamps. So what they had to do was add another football game and more playoff games so that they could get the money back, because they don't have enough money. You understand? That's why the Chiefs ownership needs the public to pay for their new stadium in Kansas and pull the wool over all the doofuses in Kansas, in rural Kansas, who will vote for the stupid-ass Chiefs to get billions of dollars when they have already mega-billions of dollars. So let's all, in this time of Christmas, feel for the mega-owners who don't have enough money.
There it is. Will, what's your second?
What do we have? Ravens-Steelers, 3.5?
The Sunday night, the final game of the weekend. That is a winner take all. Tie goes to the Steelers, by the way, if it results in a tie.
What do we have side and total for this game?
Side is 3.5 in favor of the visiting Ravens. Painted 3.5, by the way. And the total is
41.
40. I'm seeing all over the place. You guys tell me, is 41 the consensus, I think?
I believe 41. It's 41. I'll also give you another little piece of data there, Willie. Parking will be $80 for self, and a valet will be $100. Dine at the Rivers, just mere 200 yards from the stadium. So you better drive down. Now, one other thing, it's going to be freezing cold. I'm talking about freezing. I'm talking about way freezing, okay? If you're going to go out there, and you think you're going to sit in them stands for 3.5 hours plus, you got yourself another thing coming. It's going to be freezing.
29-degree high expected in Philly, in Pittsburgh, on Sunday night.
It's going to be no colder than that. It's going to be nighttime in that. In the nighttime, this is a weather thing you might not know. Weather time, nighttime tends to be colder than that. There's no sun down there.
We're just doing 22 degrees at night. Sorry about that, Todd. 22. My bad.
All right. This is my second and third picks. You want me to just take them both?
Yeah, go. Do it.
I'll take the dog and I'll take the under. Give me Pittsburgh +3.5 and give me under, I guess we'll call it, 41 is fair?
Yep.
I mean, these games just tend to, I know the last one went over, but this has been a rivalry typically where it's close. It's a one-score game. I believe 10 of the last 12 have been one-score games. Pittsburgh has actually done really well against against Baltimore, 9-3 in the last 12. These games are usually close. These games are usually low scoring. Pittsburgh without Metcalf, I picked against them last week for a reason. That was a real issue because they're throwing guys. I think every time they threw to somebody, I was like, wow, that guy's still in the league, whether it's Scotty Miller or Adam Thielen. It was really, they just don't have many
weapons. We had too many white guys. Just say it. We had too many white guys playing wide
out. There you go.
You can't play wide out with just white guys.
That's right. And that Metcalf punch, you know, might have cost them a playoff spot. I think that's very possible. But I just think with possibly no Lamar here, this has got all the makings of an ugly, close, low scoring, you know, 19-16, 20-17 type of game. So give me the 3.5 and give me the under here for this game.
That was their plausible deniability about the theory that they were more interested in protecting Rodgers than they were winning the game. They could just say, well, we didn't have DK Metcalf. He had to throw the ball quick or short to... What did you say, white guys? I guess.
By the way, somebody said to me, we were talking about DK Metcalf in the sports book. I said, you could call me any name. If you give me $45 million a year, whatever DK Metcalf's got, you could call me any name for the entire football game. Okay. Even after the game, you could call me names, the worst names you could possibly come up with. And I would never, in fact, I would just smile at you and say, thank you for paying my salary, sir. Thank you for paying my salary. You would never get me to punch you. How stupid was that?
Pretty damn. Todd, it's your turn.
It's my turn. It is, isn't
that one,
it?
That one didn't land well, Todd. Sorry. They can't all be winners.
All I could say is I said, you can call me. I actually said something even worse in the sports book when I was talking about it. I said, you could call me blank, blank, whatever. Anyways, let's see. In my second pick, I have a bunch of these written down, and I'm just last second trying to figure out which ones I want to go with. I'm going to go with under 48 in the Jaguars game. Under 48 Jags. I think this game is a little inflated due to the fact that Tennessee in the last couple of weeks has all of a sudden started scoring points somewhat more akin to a National Football League team.
47.5.
What'd you say?
47.5. Stop stealing a half a point.
Oh, is it really 47.5?
Yep.
Let's see. I had it written down to 48. Maybe it moved down. Titans, Jaguars. I have 48 all over the place. Am I totally wrong on this, Willie?
Let's see here. I'm seeing both.
I don't see a single.
47.5.
Okay, yeah, fine. 47.5, no problem. Under 47.5 with the Jaguars. You see, Ace, how difficult it is for me to win the division against these guys. Under 47.5 Jaguars because I just don't believe that the number that is kind of inflating. When have we really seen a lot of Titans game this high? Now, granted, they in the last 4 weeks, they had some games where they scored some points last week against the Saints. They scored some points against the 49ers. They scored some points against some other team in between. And all of a sudden, they're like supposedly a real offense. I still don't buy it. Prior to this little explosion of points, the Titans had a 25-3 loss against the Jaguars just a mere 5 or 6 weeks ago. So I think we're going to see more of that from the Titans on offense. I don't see the Titans going against the Jaguars. Jaguars have a sneaky decent defense. I think nobody really talks about the Jaguars defense, but I think it's sneaky decent, and I think it's going to be tough for the Titans to get more than 14 points in this game. Now, if I could play team total, I would, and probably team total first half if I could. Of course, in the Mega Part, you're not allowed to do that. So I'll just go under 47.5 in the Jaguars game because I just don't see the Jaguars getting more than 14 points in this game. And if so, I still win 33-14. Give me the under 47.5 in the Jaguars game.
Ace, you get two here. You're second and third.
All right. I hate to disagree with you, Gil. You don't have much success doing that long term, but I have to on the Bears.
I just think they're that phony $3 bill team.
Bottom line with Chicago is, first, I get it with Detroit now pretty much have nothing to play for, obviously eliminated from the playoffs and the big disappointment coming off of last season. But they did lose their offensive and defensive coordinators to start the season. Some were already low on them. I thought Detroit was going to have a better season than they ultimately have. With that said, they lost a lot of one-score games. They lost a lot of close games. Where on the flip side, if you look at Chicago, they've won a lot of one-score games, and that's why they've outperformed the betting market, which is hard to continue doing in the NFL. And this is a team that's coming in off a lot of straight covers, like Todd touched on. This market in the NFL has a tendency of correcting itself when a team does that over and over and over again. And Chicago coming off a primetime game like they did, I think there's a little recency bias on this price. I'll go as far as saying the wrong team's favored. If you don't quantify motivation, the wrong team's favored. Meaning, if this was a normal Sunday, the wrong team's favored. On paper, Detroit's the better team. They've had the tougher strength of schedule. They had the seventh toughest strength of schedule in all the NFL, and yet they have a top five offense. Defensively is where they're weak. That's always been their problem, where they're, you know, barely in the top 25. But you look at Chicago, they barely had a top 20 strength of schedule. And statistically, there's nothing really impressive there. Caleb Williams is 28th in passing success rate. They have a defense that's 20th in efficiency, offense that's 12th. Like, when you have the 20th, 18th toughest strength of schedule, your stats should look a lot better than that. And then I look at their point differential, and they're a first-place team with a plus-29 point differential. Detroit's the last-place team. They have a plus-65 point differential, and they lost three more games than Chicago. So, again, I just think on paper, I have the much better team. What's difficult is quantifying the motivation. That's the difficulty, what Detroit's going to show up. But I'm getting 3 points, and it's hard to pass up when the numbers, at least what I have, tell me that the wrong team's favored. Again, I sound like a broken record, but I think that's what you're getting with Chicago. I think they'll get exposed. I talked about that a lot during college football. Those high-ranked teams that were ranked because of their record, which is all the AP reflects early in the season. You're 7-0, 9-0, you're getting ranked, regardless if you'd be a 30-point dog to Ohio State. I wouldn't go that far with Chicago, but I think they're a phony 11-5 team. I think they've gotten very lucky. Turnover margin reflects that. One-score games reflect that. I don't think that's sustainable. If they don't get exposed here, they will get exposed in the playoffs. But I just can't pass up Detroit +3. I think it's a money line kind of bet. I don't think the points will really come into play. But yeah, I'll take the 3 with Detroit as the best bet. And then I'll flip it with the total.
Before you go any farther, Ace, what about the fact? What about the fact that the Lions may not like hearing all this Ben Johnson chitty chatter? Oh, it was all Ben Johnson. It was all Ben Johnson. It was all Ben Johnson. You know they want to go in there and stick a fork in that talk, right?
For sure. For sure.
I agree with everything Ace is saying, but as I said earlier, for the playoffs, right? Like, I think all that's understandable stuff. Yeah.
That's the difficulty of this week, of week 18, which is why you got to be a little more you can't go too far out on that risk curve, and got to manage risk very well. And better off, you know, waiting a following week to place a bigger wager. But I'm going to go with a total, and it's the Saints Falcons. And again, I always sound like a broken record, but if you find something that works for you, stick to it and keep it simple. And for me, I like to take advantage of recency bias, because we remember what we saw last. That's been proven. And the market's going to reflect that. Every market reflects that, whether it's stocks, crypto, or sports. And you have an Atlanta team and a New Orleans team that's coming off two high-scoring games. And yet, when you look at the history of both of these teams in their series, they've played very low-scoring games. If you look at the totals, they've been relatively in the low 40s. That's why this one's only at 43.5. It's not 43.5 by accident. And if you look at the Saints last week total, let's not forget, it was at 38. They had a 40 the week before. So again, they just outperformed what was expected of them total wise, and we're actually getting a higher total than we ultimately would. And as weak as both these teams have been, you know, as far as the 2025 season goes, the defensive side of the ball has been their strength, both for the Saints and Atlanta. Neither had a tough strength of schedule, but offensively, New Orleans, like, near the bottom, only 3 teams are worse. Offensively, in Atlanta, only 8 teams are worse. But on the defensive side of the ball, New Orleans in that top 15 in efficiency, and Atlanta's about 22nd, 23rd. a lot better than they are offensively. So the strengths of both these teams is on the defensive side of the ball. We have a little recency bias, so I think the line's at least a point and a half higher than it would have been otherwise based on their series historically. And meaningful game, most likely, for nobody. I think we're going to see a low-scoring game under 43.5.
Under 43.5 in the Saints-Falcons game from Ace. All right. Ace, by the way, Gianni, Vegas runner. Many names for him. At @Greek_gambler on Twitter. Over at Wager Talk, UFC.
Yes, sir.
Todd, your final pick, Todd.
I'm debating between one of two. It's so hard. Okay, I'm going to go with under 36 in under 36.5 in Green Bay. We don't know who's playing quarterback for Green Bay, do we? Is it Love? Is it Tune?
I think it's Malik Willis, right?
There's no chance it's going to be Love off of Lucky.
Not Willis, right?
Yeah. So it's either Willis.
I think it's going to be Tune. I don't think it would be 6.5 if it were
Willis. Yeah, you're right.
I'm thinking.
I don't think it would be 6.5 if it were Huntley.
Here's another way you might have lost a game or may not have lost a game, Ace. But last week, with 6.5, 7 minutes to go, they hung under 63.5 in the Ravens Packers game. Tune was in the game. That's 5.5 more points. I said, okay, even if the Ravens punt the ball, you win. If the Ravens drive down, kick a field goal, you win. Or if the Ravens just run out the clock by getting too many first downs, you win. Because Clayton Tune is not going to get a backdoor touchdown. He is not an NFL quarterback, folks. I've watched him 1,000 times in Houston. I've watched him 1,000,000 times in preseason. He's not a real quarterback, okay? And, of course, what happens? They hand the ball to that big train, the water buffalo, and he goes boom, 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 and he's into the end zone. Somehow I lose under 63.5, which I thought might have been my best bet of the NFL season because that almost never happens in the NFL. Sure, in college football, you get the breakaway run at the end. You don't get it in the NFL, but of course they did it to me with 2 minutes and 2 seconds. They were so close to almost running out the clock. But anyways,
remember Tune played for Arizona a couple years ago, the first 6 or 7 weeks of the season. Yes. He was dreadful. Horrible. Oh, he was so bad.
He's Brosmer level. That's what he is. So Tune, I looked at the 36.5, and the first thing I thought was, oh, it must be a big chance that Tune is playing this week because that's a really low number. And so I'm hoping for a Tune-Brosmer, like an August 7th type of game, you know, when it's preseason, you get Tune versus Brosmer and you just get punt after punt after punt. And this Vikings defense has been playing well down the stretch. Who knows why? Maybe they're all looking for contracts like everybody else is. But to me, it just seems like you're going to get two garbage quarterbacks. 36.5 is going to be hard to get against that Viking defense if Tune is going to be. And then on the Viking side, Brosmer's playing. Do we need any, they're all excited because Brosmer, won the game. Big D, they didn't win any games because of Brosmer. I mean, I'd rather have Will Hill playing quarterback with a incentive clause that lifetime roles at Texas Roadhouse. I'd rather have Willie and that being his incentive clause. And that's a better chance than Brosmer because Brosmer stinks too. So I get two garbage quarterbacks. Just give me the under 36.5 in a game that I just think will be ugly as can be with lots of field goals, 16-13 final, under 36.5 in Packers, Brosmer versus Tune.
All right. Will, you've already done three, right?
Yes.
Which brings me to my third, which is hard. I mean, I took the Panthers early in the week, but that was when it was three. It's not three anymore. I want to take the Bills, but the Bills probably don't really have a realistic shot at the 5 seed. They're
Billy,
probably
you can let it all hang out on this pick because it has no effect on your seeding.
What if I decide to, make it cosmetically close? What about that? I would have taken the Bills, but I think the Bills really realistically can't get to the 5 seed, which is a coveted seed, not only in the AFC, but not only the NFC, but also the AFC. Ultimately, I am going to go with the Dallas Cowboys laying, what are you seeing, 4 or 4.5? I'm seeing 4, I think.
Four.
Right?
I see four.
Four. I'm laying the 4 with the Cowboys. I think the Giants had their Super Bowl, if you will, this past week against the Raiders, where they got to show out, as the kids say. I think in a game like this, the Cowboys, like the other teams I talked about, are looking to finish the season stronger. I think the Giants now are protective of their draft pick. It was one thing to fall out of number one, but they don't want to go any further. I don't think they're willing to do that. Cowboys, for me, are the play, -4. And again, a week 18 where the reasoning is admittedly much more shallow. I'm just trying to read the tea leaves. But those are my three: Falcons, Cowboys, and Bears, based on just motivational stuff. Those are my three. Which brings us to the teaser of the week. Teaser of the week! Who's leading the teasers? Are you leading that too, Todd?
Teasers, the guest chair is leading the teasers at 10-7. Willie and Todd are both 8-9. I started off really bad in teasers. It's amazing. I'm all the way back to 8-9. Willie is also 8-9. You were 5-12. So if you can win this one and then we elongate the season for another couple of weeks, you can get back in this.
I just want to note that Todd started out that answer by saying the guest chair is leading the teasers.
I noticed that too, Gilly.
How is that any different than the actual records?
If you need that answer,
his own words,
that answer, it means that
the defense
you are not
rest, Your Honor. Based on his own words, the entire jury just went unanimous.
That question answered. It means something about you, not about us.
No. Chair ain't recognize your ass, Gilly.
Todd, once you renounced your, you know what, your ancestry appeared to have gone out of your logic game as well.
Okay, we're gonna play the ancestry game. Yeah. You're very weak there, my friend. Be careful.
Ace, what's your favorite two-team teaser of the week?
I'm gonna have to use the Saturday game for sure. Just because that number sits right, and I got to agree, whoever's getting that 1.5. So I got to take San Francisco up to 7.5. I think that makes sense. Sunday, there's a lot of good choices. They're around that touchdown. Cincinnati's around that touchdown. Buffalo, Philadelphia. I wish 7.5, but I think Philly will get there. I go with the Rams.
You can wait, and we can come back to you.
I'll go with the best team in football. I'll go with the best team in football, the Rams, the LA Rams, number one power rated team that I had. So I'll go with LA Rams, bring the Rams down to -1. It's some 7.5s out there, so we could use 1.5. And then 7.5 on San Francisco. Yeah, I like that. San Francisco and the Rams. Perfect.
And now the teaser of the week from Double Asterisk, Todd Wishnev.
By the way, did the Rams have anything to play for this week?
Not if San Fran wins.
Not if San Francisco wins. Did you listen to the show at all?
It's hard to keep track of all the goddamn playoff ramifications. I'm supposed to sit down here and listen to everything while I'm trying to prepare my picks, while I'm trying to be also witty, while I'm trying to also give Aces props. It's not easy.
People at the Win walking by are like, what was that outburst?
Okay, I'm going to go with the Carolina Panthers, despite what my friend here, Ace, has said. I think that this Tampa Bay team is a tale of two cities. We had one team in the first half of the season. We have another team in the second half of the season. And yeah, maybe, you know, you can't discount all the priors, but maybe they will win the game -2.5. And maybe Ace is absolutely right. I don't want to bet on that, but I see his argument. It's not a bad argument. I just don't think they can beat a team by 8.5, especially when I just watched these two teams played and I made one of my best in-game bets of all time when it was 17-13. Tampa Bay went up 17-13 third quarter and I took Panthers +4 -136 because I could see this was going down to the wire. To me, we're going down to the wire one more time. I don't see the Buccaneers beating anyone by 8.5. Especially, even though it's the Panthers, I still don't think they can win by 8.5. And then my other one is, I'll take the Jags down to the Jags. What do we have for the official line for the Jags right now?
Jacksonville.
The Jaguars are 12.5. Yeah.
Okay, so I'll take the Jags down to 6.5. I know you're not allowed to do that, but I'm going to do it because I don't think the Tennessee Titans.
No, you're Stevie, not allowed to do that.
Stevie, go to hell. I don't think the Tennessee Titans are going to put up any points this week. That was based on my underpick as well. So I'm not worried laying the -6.5 there. So I'll go Jags -6.5.
Willie, this is a very simple answer for me. Willie?
I was going to use the two Saturday dogs, but you know what? For the first time, I'm not going to use Panthers. I'll be a little different. I think the first time all year I'm breaking the Wong rules and the teaser. I'll use the 49ers. I'll use a weird one, though. Raiders up to 11.5. You're going to tell me this Ola Dunkin character is going to win a game by basically two touchdowns. The Chiefs, I think last week was their kind of home run effort against Denver. They fell up short. A total of 36.5. I'll tease the Raiders and I'll take those, 5.5 up to 11.5. So Raiders and 49ers.
I didn't think Ola Dunkin was as bad as we thought he was going to be.
Like 50 yards passing, though. They didn't do anything. They didn't score.
You have Andy. I just, with Andy Reid, okay, whatever. Raiders plus 11.5.
Wait, you thought he was good last week?
No, I didn't think he was good. I thought he was going to be a lot worse. Raiders plus 11.5. And what's your other one?
Raiders and 49ers.
This is the first time.
Ola Dunkin threw for 66 yards.
Which of those 66 was your favorite, Tom?
But he game managed. He game managed very well. Yeah. He didn't make any mistakes. He went with the John Fox school of NFL. Let the other team make a mistake, finish 9-7.
By the way, that was 15 more yards than Max Brosberg passed for the Vikings, who threw for 51
Max
yards.
Brosberg.
And a decisive victory.
A decisive victory over the six turnover.
2026
as Gilly's about
Vikings
to get a keister shot fading my Vikings.
With the number one quarterback this year. That's right. Will Hill out of the University of Fairfield, Connecticut. You've never heard of him because of the fact he's eaten too many rolls. And at the NFL Combine, he ran a 7.4 40-yard dash. But the guy can throw the ball when the incentives are there.
I'm going with the two Saturday dogs, Niners and Panthers. Let's go.
Niners plus 7.5 and Panthers plus 8.5.
That's a good tease. That'll be popular Saturday.
Will be popular. Will it? Whether it will get home or not, totally different story. All right, Ace, you know how this goes. Final two questions of each and every Megapod since its inception. Since Ace and Marco were doing their thing. Marco taking food breaks in the middle of Megapods back in the day.
On the way to the fridge.
his audio would go out. Ace would say, yeah, I think Marco got hungry. Okay. Which of the big favorites, Ace, is the most likely to lose outright? Here are your choices, sir. Let us begin. None of them on Saturday, obviously. Sunday. Vikings, 6.5-point favorites hosting the Packers. Texans, 10.5-point favorites or 10-point favorites hosting the Colts. Bengals, 7.5-point favorites hosting the Brownies. The Jaguars, 12.5-point favorites hosting the Titans. The Patriots, 10.5-point favorites hosting the Dolphins. And finally, the Bills, 7-point favorites hosting the Jets, and the Eagles, 7-point favorites hosting the Commanders. Man, there's tons of these. And the Rams, 7-point favorites or 7.5 hosting the Cardinals, and the Broncos, 12.5-point favorites hosting the Chargers. Man, that was almost the whole schedule.
I know. Yeah, everybody falls under the parameters this week.
Who's the most likely to lose outright of those teams, you think?
It's going to sound crazy, but I'm going to go ahead and take a flyer on Miami to beat New England.
Ooh. Wow.
I know the cold weather in Miami up there, but I just think they're going to play. They're going to give New England a run for their money. They always have in this series. I mean, look over the last 10 games. They've played them really tough. They've won, 8 of them outright, I think. They cover against them. They always seem to play New England tough, regardless of the kind of season they're having. And they're actually a decent football team. I don't think they're 10, 11 points worse than New England. I think this line's a little bit jacked. I think it's closer than that, probably about 4 on a neutral, 4.5, maybe. So, yeah, I think Miami's live. It's a game they could win. Yeah, I'll take Miami.
Toddy?
I'm going to go with the Vikings to lose just based on the mere fact that the quarterback is a guy named Brosmer. A guy named Brosmer could lose to any team, anywhere. I think he could lose to San Jose State. I think he could lose to Nevada. He might even be able to lose to Idaho Vandals. So I'll go against Brosmer. Packers could beat him.
What about against Brosmer? What about that guy?
Brosmer could certainly lose.
I wonder if there's a chance McCarthy plays, because I don't think Brosmer would be a 7-point favorite over anybody. So I wonder, I would think if McCarthy can go, they want all the reps, they want all the film on him they can see, they want to get him some looks. I'm going to go, I thought you guys were going to use this one. if the 49ers win, this game means nothing for the Rams. McVay is notorious for shutting it down in meaningless games, whether it's preseason. Last year, they had a chance to, you know, avoid the NFC North loser, which people thought was an advantage. He said, I don't care. I have no interest. I'm just going to rest my guys. I think they will completely shut it down if San Francisco wins a 50-50 game. So I think the Rams losing to the Cardinals is very much on the table.
I think you're both right. I think that's the clever answer, what Will said, that it's the Rams, given the 49ers' possibility of winning on Saturday and then making it meaningless for the Rams, and that spread will crash. But if that doesn't happen, it's the Seahawks that win. I think Todd's answer is correct. And it looks like it's right now, and they're saying Broseber over McCarthy, but we'll see. We'll see about that. Packers still have nothing to play for. Packers locked into the number 7 seed in the NFC. And then, Ace, the final question. We live in a bizarre world. You got about 15 of these 16 games on the side. 15 of 16, but you get one game you want no part of. What game would that be? Again,
Cleveland-Cincinnati. Cleveland-Cincinnati. Battle of Ohio, but for nothing. Like, no one... You got a 4-12 against a 6-10. You have a series where, if you look over the last 10, like the last 4 or 5, it's been straight Cincinnati. The 4 or 5 before that, it was Cleveland. So it's like one dominates for a couple of years, then the other one tends to dominate for a couple of years. Just a coin flip kind, and it's a touchdown favorite. It's just an ugly game. Spread probably won't come into play. Yeah, for me, no side, no total. It's a pass.
Toddy? So many answers.
Chiefs, Raiders. I don't know. Chris Oladokun, the Raiders.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. That could be a good third quarter under. By the way, Chiefs, Raiders, third quarter under.
If you could be like 6.5, though, Todd.
No, they're going to put up 6.5. It might have to be one of those team total ones where I take whoever's getting the ball second in the third quarter for a team total under.
That Raiders one fucked us. That was a good bet. That one was really, that was bullshit. They had like three fourth down conversions. It was terrible.
Brutal.
Is it me? Jets, Bills. I want no part of it. Jets are just a disaster. Maybe they play a little harder last week. That's the kind of performance last week from the Jets. That gets your coach fired. It was 28-0 2 minutes into the game. So maybe they play a little harder, but if I really want to bet the Jets, don't want to lay points with the Bills who have nothing to play for, that's an easy pass for me.
I think the correct answer again is Cardinals Rams, right? Based on the Saturday result between the Niners and the Seahawks.
But also with the Rams, they've lost two. You want to go into the playoffs having lost 3 straight games?
I do think if I was playing it straight, though, I think the answer, Bills Jets is a great one, right? Because I think the Bills, that spread is just a placeholder for like, how are the Bills going to play this? Because as I said earlier, Bills could technically finish 5, 6, or 7, but the Chargers are not playing Herbert, so they're all too happy to lose. And then it's the realistic chances of like Jacksonville or Houston loses is so small. So the Bills are probably going to be 6, as it turns out. But I would say the Ravens Steelers. I honestly don't know about that 3.5 point spread because Todd was the first one to say this, and I think he's right. Has there ever been a team more overrated in the market for as long as the Ravens have been?
Ravens have been this season? Yeah. No.
You agree with that, right?
Yeah,
not in a long time. Not in a long time.
Where I everyone thought they were dead last week, and then they buried Green Bay, which I was shocked they killed the Packers like that.
Yeah, and that's the game. Like when I was doing guessing lines, I said to Kelly, I said, if this were up to me, right, I would have said the Steelers -1.5. But because I know the Ravens are overrated every week in the market, I bet they were like a 3-point favorite. And it turns out they were 3.5, which was even more shocking to me. But there it is. Okay.
Do we think Lamar's playing, by the way?
That's a great question, too. I don't know. I mean, when he first got the injury, it sounded like he was nowhere close to being able to play, right?
I know Huntley's playing well. 3.5 with Huntley on the road seems like a lot, right?
Yeah. And I don't know if he just hasn't messed up. You know, he threw 100 yards, like 20 attempts. He's not like lighting it up, but he's just not messing up.
The whole 200 level is going to be on the inside. You know, the way that the Steelers Stadium is set up, especially if you look at StubHub, it's funny. If you look at the prices and the tickets, there's really great tickets in the lower bowl in the middle in these freezing cold games for cheap. Then if you go to the 200 level where you can walk inside and there's this whole inside area where they have this like special popcorn maker, by the way, you should check that out. It's fantastic. But there's a whole, it's a whole warm area where you could just walk inside and watch the game from there. So the 200 level seats are like super expensive. Then you go to the top level, and again, they're like super cheap because there's nowhere to walk inside. So it's kind of funny on the Steeler pricing.
John Harbaugh saying it's still to be determined.
Yeah, he's not going to say shit. Even if he knew, he wouldn't say anything.
Ace, where can people find you?
Greek_gambler on Twitter and, of course, Instagram and all that good stuff. And on UFC Fight Pass, their streaming network, and Contender Series over the summer. So, yeah, head on over to Greek_gambler. All my links will be on there. Thank you. Thank you for having me again. And best of luck to everyone throughout the NFL playoffs, bowl season, and happy 2026 ahead.
Great seeing you, man. Great seeing you.
Thank you. Love you. Ace. Thank you.
Thanks, Ace.
Thank you, boys. Best Tom of luck.
Will Hill, appreciate it. Playoffs start next week. I think we're all ready for the playoffs. Good luck getting through the squirrely week that is week 18 in the National Football League. Thank you for listening.